Are you ready?
Yep.
The Thursday, April 6th, law enforcement public safety meeting to order. First, I'll take approval of the March 2nd meeting minutes. Lucientel, second Hewitt. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. First resolution we have is Resolution 128, adopting a local law number 1 to allow enrolled volunteer firefighters and volunteer ambulance workers to be eligible for real property tax exemption. Motion to discuss.
I'll second.
Second. Fabiano, any discussions?
Yes.
Go for it.
Chelsea,
she did provide
okay,
this.
She got it to you. Okay.
Yeah. This is an update of those who opted in and so far. So just the follow-up on this is that if your district has not yet, maybe we could pass this around, but maybe let the legislators know to, or encourage them to reach out to their district.
And no one has said no, which we anticipated.
That's nice.
But
I'm happy to say New Paltz Village has passed it, and their school district has passed it.
And my two districts, Highland and Marlboro, as well.
Good job, good job.
And either of anybody. Yep.
But Stone Ridge has not yet passed it, just FYI. Go ahead.
So there's been some questions from a lot of people. There is regarding how it all works, right? So the law says that you cannot collect the $200 tax rebate and the property tax at the same time. So there are some people, some assessors saying that this year they cannot collect a tax rebate. That's incorrect. They can collect a tax rebate this year when they're filing their taxes. It's next year when they're going to get the property tax exemption that they cannot collect the $200. And FASTI's trying to make that change as well for next year as well. So, and it's a recruitment. It's to help with recruitment. So the recommendation from FASNY is that, you know, they don't attach a lot of requirements to it, like their low staff programs or a certain amount of calls to it. It's more to get the firefighters in the door, EMS in the door, and then they need to work on retention after that. But just they want them using it as a recruitment tool.
So are they coming up with some kind of, like, frequently asked questions just for the few misnomers to just allow people
I believe FASNY might have put something out. I can share that with you.
Yeah, that'd be good. Just so we can give it to legislators so if someone reaches out with these questions, they would have the answers handy. All right, anything else on this? All in favor of Resolution 128?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, unanimous. Resolution 150, confirming appointment of member to the Traffic Safety Board. Motion to discuss.
Move it.
Chattel, second. Do it. Any discussion?
I'll just say I know that the Sheriff's Office is a very important voice in that committee, and I'm excited to see that role filled and have someone from the Sheriff's Office back in there.
All right. Any other? All in favor of Resolution 150?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Unanimous. Resolution 151, confirming the appointment of Elizabeth Corrado as Director of Ulster County Public Defender's Office. Motion to discuss.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Second. Okay. So, hi, welcome. What we have done historically with this role and some other roles is we utilize this meeting as an opportunity to ask you some questions and get a better sense of you. So if that's okay,
absolutely.
I'm going to hand it over to Legislator Hansett, who's going to lead that part.
If we could just a quick little background, and then I do have a question for you. I would much appreciate that.
Oh, sure. So I kind of expected that everyone would have my resume, but
we do. It was in our packet.
Okay.
We just don't have it printed
yeah.
out.
Yeah. Well, I've been a practicing attorney. I kind of came to being an attorney a little bit late in my life. So I've been practicing for about 17 years. I've done a lot of private practice. I was the town justice in the town of Curley for 4 years. I was at the DA's office with Manny for, I think, just 6 months. It was a grant position with the Gang and Gun Violence Task Force. Actually, the task force that Urgent grew out of that task force. It was under Governor Pataki. That was, I think it was called Operation Impact at the time. So I also while I've done all this, I owned a restaurant for 25 years. And so I've managed an organization. I have a tremendous management background. I've been managing basically since I was 16 years old. So I've managed organizations anywhere from, 20 people to many, 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 many more than that. And that's where my main strength is. I mean, I'm a lawyer, and I'm a very good lawyer. I'm very well liked among my colleagues, unless they're lying to me. And the judges, I think I have tremendous respect from the judges as well. But I have really, really strong management skills. And when I thought of this job, I thought our office really needs a manager. It has been without a strong manager probably for 15 years. But I mean, Andy was a part-time manager. It's very hard to manage an organization part-time the way ours was. And the last few years has just been kind of adrift. When I came in, I would just say, oh, we really should have a policy on that. We really should do this. I would start to make lists. And when Andy was there, I'd say, Andy, can we think we should do this? And he was great. He was just like to say, sure, why don't we do, and I was able to do things. In the last few years, I've had to put my head under a rock, basically. So this is a great opportunity for me. I am really, really looking forward to being able to make this office, which has a great staff, great attorneys, really, really become the solid institution that it should be, because we have years and years of existence without anything like a motion bank in place, without anything. You can't listen here, okay? That's our failing. these things that so when new attorneys come in, they shouldn't have to be reinventing the wheel. They should know exactly how to do things, how to make things. How say, I'm brand new. I'm just out of law school, and now I'm an ATV. When I come in, I shouldn't have to guess what a motion should be, what the procedure is. None of those things, and those things are in place. We're building them on the family court side. I've been building them for 5 years. But on the criminal court side, we don't have those things in place. And I really don't want it to be that if everybody walked out the door, there would be nothing there. And I'm really looking forward to really memorializing policies, procedures, making it so that the place will work no matter who's working there. So that was more background, more information on this.
Well, thank you and welcome. And my question is, has your staff been able to handle the challenges that discovery law reform has brought about, and do you feel that there is enough adequate staff in that department now?
So we don't have a separate discovery department, and I've been having conversations with the deputy chief assistant about this. We had a bit of a hiccup with the discovery because it was crashing our computers, and it was taking hours and was monopolizing computers for a while, but it turns out really that the issue was that we got new printers that created a problem. We need more of whatever it was, bandwidth or whatever. I want to get a dedicated computer so that we can so the download process doesn't monopolize somebody's. But when I'm speaking to the attorneys whose responsibility it is to look at the discovery, they want to look at the discovery. They don't want a separate person, a separate entity saying, oh, let's I'm fine with somebody going through and making sure the certificate of completion, but what's on there is what's in the discovery packet, but it's still the attorney's responsibility to review all that. So could we use another lawyer? Probably. I know that ILS said that we should have 1.5 more full-time equivalents in the attorney's position than we have. And we have it in the budget, so that would be my aim, to make sure that the attorneys have the time to do their discovery and that our equipment is proper.
Thank you.
Sure.
Other questions? So I have a couple. I've been involved with the Public Defender's Office now for probably at least a decade, if not more, from when facing significant challenges with appearances without arraignments, without someone there from the public defender's office to in these late nights and whatever. We got a big grant. We created well, there was one approach that we were going to take, that fell apart. Then we created the quadrants. That seemed to be working pretty well. Then that kind of seemed to fall apart. Now with the sheriff's tremendous work, we're working on, we're pretty close to opening our centralized arraignment.
Right.
And so I guess one is how your familiarity with the efforts of the centralized arraignment and your thoughts about how that will change or adapt or influence the public defender's office.
So with regards to the centralized arraignment, I have, you know, I have mixed feelings about it. So I know that it's going to happen. I want more to make sure that when the defendants are brought, if it's centralized, these people are going to be brought far from their homes very often. So I'm just wondering what's going to happen in terms of transportation back, because I don't know the answer.
I can give you the answer.
Great.
So we have funding, right, Chris, to provide taxi services back.
Oh, that's great. That was my major concern in terms
yep.
of, you know, even
yeah,
when
no, we realized that we didn't want to hold law enforcement from these municipalities to sit around and wait.
Right.
If possible, the sheriff's office is able to, they may transport them, but we don't want to rely on that.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on the circumstances, so that's why we have, we'll have taxi vouchers.
No, that's great. So in terms of how it's going to work, I don't know the ins and outs of that yet. This is one of those things that when God willing,
right.
I'm confirmed, is another one of the things that I'll
right.
put my mind to. I think that we, you know, as it is now, we have a scheduling and a backup scheduling for the council at first appearance. We have somebody during the day. The night times, it's harder, but I think that we need to have a triple backup like a, and I, sometimes that's just a personnel management thing, and that could be
right.
where that has been maybe floundering without strong.
Yeah, a lot of judges are saying that they are fine. In the current situation, we're fine that there's no public defender present.
And that should not ever be because
right.
there's a schedule, which means that somebody's not doing what they're supposed to be doing.
And we're hoping this is easier because it's one location. It's same scheduling idea, but it's one location
that
they have
to go.
Middle
of the night kills everybody.
Right.
It is what it is. I
yep.
did it for 4 years. I understand.
We could tell people not to commit crimes at night.
We could
pass a red warning for that, right?
So the other one is...
Right.
Yeah, I will have to say one of the things that I really appreciated and miss about Andy is how much of his state-level advocacy work. To me, in many ways, this is probably one of our strongest advocacy-type appointments, where it's not just the real work that has to be happening here, but so much of the state decisions influence how you can do what you're doing. So I'm just wondering if you have either speak of your experience at doing kind of advocacy at the state level, or if none, then your interest in that.
Yeah, so I'm very glad that you're talking about this because I think it's a really critical part of the job, and I know how Andy was so keen on social justice issues, and it made people want to work in the office. You felt like we have a mission. This is something we're really supposed to be doing that the boss really cares about. I signed up for a training, actually it was just last week or the week before, to do the advocacy work, to the public defense, it was the defender advocacy right before the budget was being passed. And I did the training, and then I was going to go up to that day, and I got called in an emergency in family court, so I wasn't able to go. It's just because I'm short-staffed. Family court attorneys right now. I have an attorney going out on maternity leave and you know, whatever. I'll work that all out. But that was the reason I didn't actually go. But I'm signed up for. There's another thing that going up on in Albany, and I'm very happy to be part of that email. It's the Chief Defenders Association. It sends out all the emails with regard to any public advocacy. So I'm very interested in it. I do know Michelle Hinchey personally, and so I feel like I can just talk to her. I've known she went to grammar school with my son, so I've known her since she was a little girl. And I've always been very politically involved and always felt, you know, we did so many fundraisers and everything at my restaurant. I've always felt like it was I'm very involved in, you know, things I believe in, and I do no less in this job. I would do way more. I'm actually, it's one of the things I'm looking forward to because I want to make a difference.
Great. Thank you. Other questions? So the last thing I'll just say is, this meeting is really important that you come to. We had a lot of difficulty with the last public defender being at this meeting. And so I just want to state now while we have you, should you get the votes, that especially, I mean, definitely if there's a resolution, but sometimes we use time when we have this meeting to talk about our criminal justice system in other ways, and not having your voice here would be a detriment and a loss. So just wanted to put that out there, that we would really like to see your face. Well,
you have my commitment.
Perfect.
I know I'm not a member here, and if you don't, if it's okay if I
sure,
add something.
Sure, go for it.
I've known Liz since she worked in the DA's office, and when I heard of her appointment, I called her. As Chief Assistant DA, no matter, you know, working from now going forward, about improving the relationship between the two offices, getting things done on the upfront, and hopefully saving resources for the county and getting cases handled on the quicker end. You know, working out some resolutions that, rather than waiting to the end to get the same thing that we would have had up front. So, I know I can work with her.
Yes, we can definitely work
and,
together.
And I'm looking forward to it. So,
great.
Thank you.
We'll see a real expansion of restorative justice in this county. That would
That's
be great.
Cool. We have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. All right. Any other? All right. All in favor of Resolution 151?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Unanimous. That's step
Thank
one.
You. That was
She'll have the whole legislature.
Really
just so you know, the whole legislature has to vote in session. But it
You
would
should have
meeting.
No problem.
Thank you.
You got Dean's word on that.
That's all you need.
Okay. Okay. Next, we have Resolution 205, authorizing the chair of the legislature to enter an agreement with the Department of Justice for asset forfeiture. Any motion to discuss? You should tell. Second. Hansett, any discussion? All in favor of 205?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Unanimous. Resolution 206, authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute an agreement with the town of Saugerties to provide an officer to the sheriff's Oracle team as a trainee. Motion to discuss?
Motion.
Second. All right. Any discussion?
That's why these gentlemen are here.
Chad! we know about Oracle, but was there something specific you want to share about this?
The town of Saugerties has been involved with us almost since the inception of the Oracle team. They're a great partner, and this is going to allow the Saugerties Police Department to have a full-time member through our COSAP grant. So essentially the town's getting reimbursed to our grant to have a full-time member to Oracle.
Okay.
And it's going to selection of the gentleman that's going to be assigned as a fantastic selection. He's already been working with us one day a week here and there as their manpower allows. But
person power, Chad. Person power.
Yeah. So that's it. It's going to be a great asset to our team.
Great.
It's going to make us that much better.
Super. Yeah.
So I just want to understand the financial component of this. So this is our COSAP grant. Saugerties is reimbursed for it. We're the pass-through, so we receive the grant. We reimburse Saugerties for the cost of this officer, correct? Okay.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, they're basically serving on it, but they're not going to leave their job at Saugerties, so they're getting served.
Right, so their benefits and everything, they're still on the Saugerties payroll,
yeah.
But they're now, their reporting structure is now through our Oracle unit.
Well, just
correct.
For that, for the full-time?
Full-time.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So they're
it's similar to the Child Advocacy Center where the county reimburses. The only difference is we're using grant funding for this particular
right.
position.
Right.
Is
this
a three-year?
This was the new COSAP grant that we
okay.
got at $1.3 million.
Great.
And if the officer in question here is moved on to a different role at a different department, that they would be replaced, so the slot would be held, and basically, so this is for not necessarily
for Saugerties meeting.
So Saugerties would have someone else to place into that. But they would need to find someone else to place into that role, correct?
Is that correct?
It'd be a team effort in the selection, as it was for the gentleman that's been assigned to the detail now. They're a great partner, great asset, and Saugerties could definitely use a little more attention.
Great.
So it's the person and the location.
Yeah, it would be, right, I understand. Thank you.
All right, anything else? I will say, the sheriff just left, but do you want to talk a little bit about how more places are looking to copy our Oracle program?
So it's funny you should say that. We actually, this morning, just had a meeting with Putnam County, and they are interested in the same type of response team that is here in Ulster County. At some point last year, we met with Rockland County. They are COSAP grantee. They run theirs through the DA's office. And we presented our model, so to speak, to the State Sheriff's Association. We even made a trip to Washington, D.C., made a presentation to the National Sheriff's Association. Probably one of the highlights of the Washington trip was when a Kentucky sheriff stood up in the back of the room and was like, "Can I ask you a question?" I'm like, "Sure, absolutely. Will you send me a copy of your grant?" And we're like, 100%, we'll send you anything you want. Mm-hmm. And we did. We did the same thing with Chautauqua County, I believe, and Sheriff Patron out there. They were actually the recipients of the COSAP grant last year as well. So it's the word's getting
spreading.
Out.
That's spreading. Great.
Yeah.
You guys rock. All right. All in favor of Resolution 206?
Aye.
Unanimous. Resolution 207, authorizing the chair of the legislature to approve an application for BJA for Law Enforcement Behavioral Health Response Program grant. Motion to discuss?
I'll move it.
Second, Hansett. All right, any discussion? All in favor of Resolution 207?
Aye.
Any opposed? Sorry, I said oh my god because my phone keeps ringing. As much as I've turned off 8 different things and I still keep getting, I have like the do not disturb, I don't know what else to tell it. Sorry. All right, Resolution 208, authorizing the chair of the legislature to approve another application for DOJ COP for law enforcement mental health and wellness grant. Motion to discuss?
I'll move it.
Okay. Discussion. Didn't we just do this or a similar one? I thought we had a mental health wellness, or is that just like a whole year ago?
That was the discussion last month on the pro.
There was that program. It was part of the. It was when Nick Mason came talking about the program that I believe is that right. I know one.
The health
one is gone.
Yeah. That was the program that the.
I'm not the only one losing my mind.
Last month?
Okay, well, so, okay, I'm just like, this feels familiar, but...
Yeah, that was regarding the program, the program, the resources that they're doing internally, that the new civilian position is leading.
Right, this just sounds very much because it's mental health wellness services with peer support, training, family.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
What's
it called? And how is this, do you know how this is different, or is this expanding that?
I can't answer that. I'm not aware of that one.
Okay.
I thought you were going to ask me questions about the one previous.
That's fine.
That sounds good.
Well, did you want to go back, Gina, to the one previous?
I just didn't know. I didn't get
we can
quick
go back
enough on that one. I just, that was 207, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. The previous one.
Yeah. If you could just tell us a little bit about it, and is that a new program?
It's a new program. It's essentially, if we're awarded a grant, it'll be similar to the Oracle program, but specific to mental health grants. And one the same type of co-responding mental health professional and law enforcement. That's the goal.
Is he gone?
He's talking.
Sure. It's fine. It's just be useful to know how that this mental health. But this is because this is also an application. So I just was curious whether this is a grant to enhance that program we talked about last month, or whether it's a completely separate.
The COPS grant you're talking about. I'm not familiar with that one.
Okay.
It could have been. I'm certain that's probably related to our HERO program, which is the which is officer wellness.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a fancy,
that's it.
Right.
Okay.
All right. All in favor of Resolution 208?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Yeah. Resolution 209, authorizing the chair of the legislature to enter an agreement with the Department of Homeland Security for information sharing access. A motion to discuss?
Motion.
Second. You should tell. Discussion. Do you know what information is going to be shared?
I do not.
That's for me.
Oh, that's you. Sorry. You're right. I saw this.
You literally said 5 minutes before the meeting, I need to go to this meeting with you. I would have been more prepared.
Sure.
We're going to tell them how great you did.
This is information sharing with FEMA, and it's for our hazard mitigation plan. So Ulster County is the holder of the county hazard mitigation plan. It's an all hazard mitigation plan, and it's redone every 5 years. It expired in January. We received the grant at the beginning of the year to rewrite the plan with all the townships. So we're going to be sharing data through the Department of Environment with FEMA on the county. So we, in regards to the hazards and how we're going to mitigate the hazard long term. Floods,
right.
It's required for us to have it. It's required in order to access grant funding, as well as for the townships.
That's great. I mean, I've brought up before this concern and interest that we do understand how we're going to prevent the inevitable future floodings that we're going to have in this county, especially in terms. But in my experience, or what I was told, was most of that is related to, like, county-owned property as opposed to, like, humans who might get flooded. Is that true, or does this include, like, people who will be flooded?
It's based off of township, by each township. So every township in the county has a responsibility. So the county, and as well as the county. So, like, we have our portion of the hazard mitigation plan, and then you have the... then each township identifies their hazards within their township. We don't identify that for them. So we work along with the towns and we identify those areas and the areas of risk that could cause an issue for local residences as well.
Okay.
And I think I remember you asking this question last year, I think related about floodplain mapping, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that in recent discussions with New York City DEP is they have amazing technology associated with the reservoirs, trying to get them to update their mapping, give us access so we have better access to the, like, state-of-the-art technology that they use in order to map out their areas. So I don't know that that'll speak outside of the SOPIS type of watershed area or throughout the entire county, but we are trying to get more access, so we'll see.
Right.
But that's something that is going to be, I think, under discussion more and more going forward.
Yeah, and there's two parts to this. I mean, there's a large long-term resilience look at this. I think more what you're looking at for our residents. But this is a requirement to get this done right away. We're on this time crunch. We have to have it done by October to meet a timeline. So we have a long-term goal that we've been working with Department of Environment. We were working with Amanda LaValle on it as well. And I think that, you know, once we get this done, we're able to move into that second phase.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to, again, bring it to the attention that in my understanding of this, the focus is on municipal owned, like, their roads, the areas near there, and if it happens to be people, then people get counted in it, as opposed to really thinking which houses, which apartments are at most risk, what will happen to those people if that gets flooded out. And I just, you know, I think I brought it up when the Bronx situation happened and whole families were killed because
yeah.
of that, that we're thinking, since we know the floods will come, that what are
program,
we doing?
We did a program, Steve Peterson did a program a while back where the DEP was buying out properties.
It's a DEP area.
Yeah, DEP
area. And
yeah.
that program still exists, but I think what you're talking about is not just in those DEP designated areas or places adjacent to municipal properties.
Right.
It's about
anyone.
People with houses along
yeah.
these sort of farms.
Anywhere,
like
town-wide.
And town-wide, yeah.
Right.
Town-wide.
And farmers, yeah. Let's bring them in, too. So
we'll run with that a
yeah.
bit and inquire about how. Yeah, I think we have to do more research.
Yeah.
I guess that's
all right. All in favor of resolution 209?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Unanimous. Resolution 210, authorizing the chair of the legislature to enter an agreement with New York State Office of Indigent Legal Services for a second upstate family defense quality improvement and caseload reduction. Motion to discuss.
Motion.
Second.
Okay. And I assume this is that other position that you were talking about, or?
No, this is a three-year grant. It's $750,000, $250,000 each year. And we applied for it last year. We were approved for it. And it is to improve the representation for parents whose children have been removed because of abuse or neglect. And we asked for a social worker and legal aid and a supervising attorney so that we can provide services to these people, because oftentimes, almost always, when someone is found to have a finding of neglect, then they are asked to commit.
Just hold on a sec. Is this that one? I thought we pulled that one.
Pulled the position funding and creating the new positions to make it consistent with the grant, because there was inconsistencies that flowed through.
Okay, so
we're not going to fund the positions, but we want to move forward with the grant.
I see. Okay.
And then we'll come back to you next month with cleaned
right,
up.
Right. Got it.
Yep.
So just
make those right.
Yeah. Sorry. So just for the rest of the legislators, there was a second resolution that went along with this that had the specific positions,
right.
but that has been pulled because there were just more administrative errors on it,
yep.
and so, okay, so thank you. I just wanted, because I was like, am I remembering it wrong? Okay, perfect. Any questions regarding this one? All right, all in favor of Resolution 210?
Aye.
All right, unanimous. Sheriff, I was just curious, for the COPS, unfortunate name of the grant, you tried to name Oracle, by the way, he tried to name Oracle COPS.
Actually, it was UC
Cops. UC Cops.
Of course,
it's the only worse name than Cops itself.
Yes, that's the word.
But so is DOJ Cops, does that support directly into the HEROES, the current mental health wellness program that you have for officers, or is this a different?
So
this program,
and we're talking about the law enforcement mental health and wellness.
Yeah. 208.
This includes things like suicide prevention. It is similar to what we have now: peer mentoring, clinical support, and family support programs. And one of the things that a lot of the agencies, a little bit bigger than us, that they're doing is they're selecting a clinical support staff. The one thing about law enforcement is that there's not a lot of trust outside the realm of law enforcement. No one's going to come and say that they have an issue in law enforcement because they're afraid they're going to lose their job. And the Emergency One program that we presently have now was just three appointments with, at some points, sometimes it's the same doctor, sometimes it wasn't. And that's just not sufficient for the line of the work that we have and what those young men and women see every day. Just a couple of years ago, we had that 20-year-old deputy that went to check the welfare of, and the gentleman came out and attempted to shoot him, and he stopped folks that was coming, that were coming up the road, it was 22 years old. We're asking a 22-year-old and a 23-year-old to make decisions like that, like they're in the military. And that has, if he would have shot that individual, think of the, and it's tougher not to pull the trigger at times than to pull the trigger. Think of the mental aspect and agony that that individual will go through if he did do that. And these are folks that are going to stay in these professions for 25, 30 years. That has an effect. And that trust, I think a grant like this focuses on building a trust with an individual or a particular staff. And it's funded to do that. And that's why we're looking to put it for this grant.
That's great. It was more of a question of if it's expanding your current program or will it be different?
It is. It is expanding the program, yes.
Great. And is this available just to the sheriff's law enforcement or to law enforcement across the county?
If I would say that, I'd be run out of the store right here. Of course, it's for every first responder, law enforcement entity in the county.
I'll just reiterate, you got to get my book also because I have a whole chapter on mental health and law enforcement.
Write that down.
And I want my 50-cent royalty.
You can borrow it from me. I have a copy.
You do?
I ordered it on Amazon.
Right. Did you read my...
I'll take it from you.
Yeah. I read the whole chapter.
That was the 50 cents I got this
year. Well,
there
was a lot of it is other
okay,
authors.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah.
I read her chapter. Yeah.
Nice.
Good year.
All right, I know.
That's what I was trying to prepare for chairing this committee. You know?
Right, you're like,
I was like, I got to read this lady's book.
Okay.
And the program we heard about last month, that was called Hero, which just
So we have under forthcoming a resolution 133 for Senate that, and then qualifying immunity. Not sure why it was delayed, but it's not on it. New business. Anyone have new business? Yes.
I don't know anybody here. So the city of Kingston had started that mobile mental health unit. Have you heard anything? Does it engage the sheriff's department or anything or any information on that?
I don't have, I can speak to it. I don't have the exact numbers. I know that it's it is performing well. It's a pilot program. There's other programs like it nationwide where the clinician is partnered with an EMT and they respond. Basically what we're doing is if a call comes in through 911, and we run it through the risk assessment that we have through the diversion program. And if it does not need law enforcement, immediately we divert it when we dispatch the City of Kingston ambulance to there to the call. So it is working well. I mean, I can look at bringing numbers in next month to share, but it is working. I actually spoke to the chief of the City of Kingston yesterday about it. So
they're about 2 months into it.
Yeah. Yep.
Alright, good. That's good.
Yes.
I'll just say at the health, housing and human services committee on Monday, we did ask Commissioner McDonald to speak to our mobile mental health capacity in the county, specifically in light of some of the footage that was released from the horrible incident that happened in Worsing, which our mobile mental health was involved in. She spoke to the Commissioner McDonald spoke to the just our some of the challenges around building capacity for that, for the kind of dispatch component of it, having people in the 911 center, and how challenging it has been for access to maintain the level that we are looking for. And I do, you know, I will share, I have serious concerns about that and it not being where it needs to be, and I don't think it's anyone's fault on the county side, but it's definitely something that I hope will, and I look forward to applying further attention on.
Yeah.
I was going to bring this up as a separate issue, but it seems like it is relevant. There was an attack in the town of Rochester in a municipal parking lot, and our constables are not on the 911 dispatch. I was on the town board when we decided not to allow them on 911 dispatch. Partly to not have too much enforcement in our small town, sheriffs, troopers, and constables. But I was wondering if you can give me your thoughts, or we can talk about it offline, about why we're not on the 911 dispatch.
I can.
No one's controlled by him.
Yeah. Do you have any?
Yeah.
About
so
that?
So there's been a lot of conversation, and I've had conversations with the town of Rochester, and there's documentation going back years between Art Schneider and Steve Peterson, different sheriffs throughout the years, captains of the state police, and the constables do not respond to the 911 priority emergencies that the 911 system handles, and that's why they're not on that frequency. There's been conversations with them to, you know, work with other law enforcement agencies to get onto their systems possibly. But when a 911 call comes in and it's a priority call, we pull it for the closest law enforcement agency to handle it.
Okay.
And that's how we handle those situations.
Okay, thank
you.
So. Did you want to add something?
So my recollection of the issues that there were some issues with the way they were using the radio system. They were on the system before and they were booted off. I am willing, and I spoke to the supervisor and the chief constable, to train them to use the sheriff's office channel with certain parameters in place with the training. The reason why is some of those constables are actually corrections officers in the county sheriff's office, and I'm concerned about their safety. There's a lot of radio dead zones up there. I mean, this cell phone service is bad. And they have, for those that should take a ride up there during the fall, especially 4455 in the town of Rochester, you can't get through. And if it wasn't for them, they keep the roads open. And I think for tasks like that, the constables are great. I think the concern, though, is that they get involved in, they're peace officers, that they get involved in actual criminal, and they're not trained to deal with those criminal cases.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that the DA's office requires, and regarding, you know, that's why there's police officers and then there's peace officers.
Right.
So if they're going to maintain just the vehicle and traffic side, which in some instances not even not too much of that either, but if they do violations, that's fine. And I'm willing to bring them on board for the purposes of safety. I think it's my responsibility, whoever's out there working, to keep them safe in case there's an emergency, because they are, they're the only constabulary in the county. When I was a young trooper, there were a lot of constabularies, but now there are none. That's the only one, and it comes with some issues that were in the past, and we're hoping to get past those.
Yeah, the town prefers them to be peace officers. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Learn something new. Anyone else? Yes.
I apologize. I didn't get to tell you this because I thought I would see you before the meeting. So. On March 10th, Legislator Gusatel and I, myself, sent a letter to the county exec in support of veterans treatment as an official request. We've been working on this since August of last year. I received an email yesterday from Director of Veteran Services, Mark Cazzapulo, informing me that he is having a meeting next week with Judge Rounds to officially establish Veterans Treatment Court, who will be bringing community partners from the Center for Veterans Reintegration, as they will be the peer mentors who are necessary to make this successful. So we're
great.
It's actually happening.
Wonderful.
So.
Nice update.
Great job. Anyone else? All right, so I have one. I wasn't my intention to actually do this, but unfortunately, after receiving a call from Pat Doxey today, turns out that I am doing this. So I'm very, very sad to say that this will be my last law enforcement public safety meeting. This month will be my last month in the legislature. I have had increasing demands at my other job, and they are only growing more. And as of May, I'll be in charge of a research department with 40 federal, mostly federally funded research grants and a team of 15, 16 people. And it becomes very, very hard. I rushed here. I actually held 3 meetings here so I can get to this meeting on time. It's just been increasingly difficult for me to do both jobs well, and I've been feeling like I'm not doing both jobs well, and it's been very hard for me. This is probably my favorite committee. So I just want to say that I really appreciate all the work you guys have done and continue to do. And I look forward to hearing all about the stuff that you keep doing. And I will leave a list of everything that I expect to be finished that I did not get to finish. Go ahead, Cheryl.
I'm sure. I want everybody to know the importance of the chairwoman and what she has accomplished in this office. I know I couldn't have done it without you. There were some highs and lows, of course, whether it was naming UC cops or...
Good call there.
Or the arguments over SROs. But the truth is you made a tremendous difference and change. In law enforcement that people don't know about in this county, like some serious historic change. And if you walk in the sheriff's office and see the changes that we have, it's all because of the folks that are sitting here. But it started when you were the chair a few years back when I first took office. When we had 2 weeks to put in a grant.
That was before I actually took office. I may have worked on that grant.
When you were with the Benjamin Center?
Yes.
But it's been a great partnership. I still look forward to calling you and arguing with you. I'm going to do that.
Still help with the grant.
But the truth is you folks have a major role in government as oversight. And I appreciate everything that you do. I remember when we finally did get the grant, how you and legislator Ken Rock actually pulled together to get an executive a veto-proof resolution through for the purposes of our grant. And of course, a few years later, we get our other grant. It just shows that government works. Both parties can work together, and it couldn't have been done without you. I'm going to turn it over to my lieutenant for a second because I know he's going to have a few words. Lieutenant?
Oh, God. So, Eve, you're right. UC cops, terrible idea. I couldn't say that. So, just so you know, Eve is the one that came up with Oracle while we were writing the grant. Whoever's going to take your place has some major shoes to fill. And it's a devastating loss to the county and the citizens of the county. Mm-hmm. You know, being on the legislature anymore. I've certainly learned a lot from you, and you've certainly changed my views on some things, but it's always good for a spirited debate. Thank you.
Thank you.
My favorite Democrat. 18 years I've been here, I can say that.
Thank you.
Attention to orders. To all who shall see these present greetings, know ye that reposing special trust and confidence in the fidelity and abilities of Eve Walter, I do appoint her an honorary deputy sheriff in the Ulster County Sheriff's Office.
Oh, wow.
To rank as such at the 6th day of April in the year of our Lord, 2023. This appointee will therefore carefully and diligently discharge the duties of the grade to which appointed by doing and performing all manner of things thereto pertaining. And I do strictly charge and require all personnel of lesser grade to render obedience to appropriate orders. And this appointee is to observe and follow such orders and directions as may be given from time to time by supervisors acting according to the rules and articles governing discipline of the Ulster County Sheriff's Office. Juan Figueroa, Sheriff. I read this every time I promote somebody, every time I bring someone into the office, and this wasn't something that was done in the past, but it's something that's important to identify the person's role and what they mean to an organization. Your midnight shift starts at around...
I don't want a gun.
As a matter of fact, it starts in about 5 minutes.
Thank you.
And it just so happens I'm your boss.
That's great. I have a few ideas.
I'll give this to you.
Thank you. All right. Any other business? All right. Motion to go ahead.
I was going to ask why you brought up Pat, because she asked you to announce it.
Well, she apparently got word of it. I was waiting until our caucus to announce it.
Gotcha.
She got word, and it's probably coming out in the paper today or tomorrow. And I was I would hate for that to happen without you being told by me.
Yeah.
So
right.
That I felt like I had to.
This is my first time in this meeting, and I hope it wasn't because of me coming in. Any event, on behalf of the DA's office, the men and women that work there and do the hard work, and with the support of this committee, and on behalf of Dave Clegg, the DA, I want to say thank you for your service, and to whomever it is that's going to take your position, I want to say thank you to that person and to the committee, and I look forward to the work that the office will continue to do with the committee. So thank you.
All right. With that, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you.
So I hear we have a mutual friend in Celia Gottlieb.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
She mentioned she had reached out.
Yeah.
I've known Celia since, I mean, you might have as well, being a teacher in Highland, but I've also known her since she was a little kid.
Small world, right?
Yeah.
I don't have a role in terms of study, but I did.
Yeah.
And I was, you know,
she was a weird, wonderful kid, and she's grown into a weird, wonderful adult.
The government is not doing anything
Take
care. All right. Yeah, I'm going to look for it right now. I'm going to head over there. there. Let me just pack up really quick.
Okay.
And then if you stick around 5 minutes, I'll find it for you.
Yeah. No,
good
luck.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Take care. You have a nice Easter. You too. Thank you. So now with the white out here.